Get back. You're going to be turning to two places in the New Testament today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 19, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. At this point, we'll just read one verse from each of those chapters, but we'll be looking at those passages in a little bit more detail as we go along. As you find your place there, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Reading first from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 19. Verse 9, not 19. Right? It would be hard to get a 19th verse out of that chapter, wouldn't it? Galatians 6 and verse 9, where Paul writes and he says to them, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then a similar injunction or challenge to the local church there in the city of Thessalonica in chapter 3 and verse 13, where there Paul writes, he says, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Father, we bow before you, thanking you this morning for your word, thanking you for the scriptures, thanking you for the pen of the Apostle Paul as he was obedient to you, to your spirit, to write these challenges to us today. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, take charge of everything that goes on in this hour. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the special we just heard. And Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to take charge. Might your Holy Spirit hide the preacher thoroughly, completely, behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, these dear folks don't need to hear from Jim Turner, but we desperately need to hear from the God of glory. Please, Lord, accomplish your perfect will, and we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, we'll be seated. Title of this morning's message, "It's Too Soon to Quit." It's too soon to quit. I think we all agree, I think it's safe, we all agree that 2020 has been a year for the record books. Whatever record book that's going in, most all of us at some point, over especially the last few months, have said something along the lines, "I'll be glad when 2020's over." Yeah. Praise the Lord. If I'm right, there's only 18 days left. But is that any guarantee that 2021 is going to be any different? Does it mean that once midnight rolls around on the 31st, we can put it in neutral and just coast? No. Obviously, that's not what's going to happen. There are times, though we'd like to do that, isn't it? Aren't there times, especially over these last weeks and months, that we'd like to just, I've been hiding out for 3 weeks almost. And Marsha, yesterday, I thought she was ready to send me to the moon. You remember the Honeymooners, anybody, where Jackie Gleaner was ready to send Alice to the moon? Ralph? Huh? Well, she was ready to send. I found out I was negative, and I just started, "Let me out of here." 2021 will have its set of challenges as well. But obviously, the two passages before us make it very clear to us, it's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit. The good old China virus has created havoc. It's created havoc in churches. It has created havoc in churches, even as we would look around us this morning. I heard one report, even this weekend, that there may be as many as 25% of churches that have closed their doors. And I'm not just talking about virus shutdowns, but they've closed their doors through this, or trying to come out of this permanently. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Wow. Indeed, it has. This virus has claimed many, many, far too many lives. But beloved, my biggest fear is that far too many Christians are listening to CNN rather than the Holy Spirit of God. You hear me? We cannot claim to know and trust God and live in fear. I think I can say that at this point. Remember what Paul told Timothy. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He's talking about a spirit of fearfulness. Get a hold of that. I'm afraid that a spirit of fearfulness is gripping not just society as a whole, but our churches as well. A spirit of fearfulness. God's not given us such a spirit, but He's given us a spirit of what? A power of love and a sound mind. To be able to think these things through reasonably. Living in fear. Now listen to this. Living in fear is a contradiction to what the Christian faith is. Are we going to quit? I'm afraid many have. Are we going to quit? Are we going to permit the fearmongers to stop us from serving God? Well, you're here, so I guess I was going to say preaching to the choir. Look at a few things here, and we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we see this exhortation to go on for the Lord. This challenge, this exhortation to go on for the Lord. What's Paul say? Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Now, the Apostle Paul is fully aware of the possibility that we can get wore out. That we can get wore out in stressful circumstances. But his challenge to his readers, and by the way, to us as well, his challenge to us is that we not allow the circumstances to get the best of us. You hear me? There's always circumstances that can defeat us if we allow them, overwhelm us. We must not allow the circumstances to get the best of us. When it seems like you're about to be overwhelmed by the circumstances, beloved, take a deep breath and go on. Go on with your eyes on the spiritual horizon. I didn't just say the horizon because that might horrify you. Keep your eyes on the spiritual horizon beyond the circumstances. Get beyond the circumstances. Why? Because the Lord will strengthen us. Amen. I think He said something about that, hasn't He? Remember, be mindful when we read our scriptures. The Jewish people, at that time when the Jewish people were returning back to Jerusalem after that time of forced exile in Babylon, they labored. They got back to Jerusalem and they labored and they struggled under extreme circumstances to see the wall of their beloved city, the city of Jerusalem, rebuilt. And when the work was done, the wall was completed, a time of consecration to God was called for by the leaders. Nehemiah and Ezra, that one who is called a ready scribe, an expert in the law of Moses. It's not real clear which one says he said, but as you read the passage, I think it was they, Nehemiah and Ezra, both, in a sense, that secular leader and spiritual leader. In Nehemiah chapter 8 at verse 10, it says this. It says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. He goes on and says this, "For this day is holy, consecrated unto our Lord." He says, "Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of Jehovah is your strength. That word strength is the idea. He's your stronghold. Do you feel like you need a stronghold in these days? Yes. The idea of that word is He's your protection. He's the one who'll take care of you. Essentially, He was telling them, He was telling the people, you're here today. They were here today celebrating what God had done for them. You're here today because of what Jehovah God had done for you. He had strengthened you through all the circumstances. He tells them to have the joy of the Lord. And it's interesting that He says that joy, the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. That joy is your protection. The joy of the Lord is your stronghold. Are you saved? Well, by the way, I read someplace else in that book that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, we go on. Are you weary? It's okay. It's okay to admit it. Are you weary after months of trying to avoid the virus? Isn't it ironic? Some of the folks that have been trying to avoid it are the ones that have caught it. I mean, we try to be good little citizens and wear our masks when we're supposed to wear our masks. And you find yourself at the Walmart. Somebody walks up, you're looking at the bacon or the eggs, and somebody walks right up in front of you. And you find yourself doing one of these numbers? I'm the only one that does that. You bunch of liars. We're trying to be, and we catch it anyway. Well, I'm thankful all of you that haven't caught it, and I pray you don't catch it. We're weary after months of trying to avoid this thing and continue. Hey, and in the midst of it, seeking to continue to serve God. To serve Him. To live for His honor. Remember the precious, precious words of that promise from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Listen to these words. Let them sink in. But they that wait on the Lord. That's a special word. That word wait there is a special word. Oh my. It has that. It's not the idea of making yourself, I guess I'll wait on those folks. No, it's not that kind of idea of wait. The idea of wait, that idea of the word wait means to be eagerly waiting. To wait with expectation. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They, those ones, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Where's our strength? Where's our help? It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. So we see here this in this exhortation to go on for the Lord. First of all, we see that as Paul's writing to the church there in Thessalonica, it's a word of exhortation to Christians, to believers, to believers. He says, but ye brethren, his fellow believers. Paul wrote this to Christians, beloved. He wrote it to the members of a local church. He wrote it to his fellow brethren in the Lord. Again, the question, are you saved? And Paul's writing these things to you and me, to us. He's telling us, beloved, listen to this. He's telling us to go on. Now, we'll go back and look at this passage. It's very important. He's telling us to go on regardless of what others are doing. Say, what? Well, let's go back here a few verses. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, going back to verse 6, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, "Now we command you, brethren, you that are saved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." That word disorderly is found three times in the passage. You watch for it as we read on down through. He says, you stay away from them ones that walk disorderly. The idea of it, it's kind of a military term. You know anything about this, Chris? Did you learn anything about marching down there at San Diego? Yeah, a little bit. I'm sure you did. Well, when you're marching, you're supposed to stay in line, right? And you got a little bit of practice at that. Well, the idea of this word is to be walking out of line. The idea of it is to be out of line or to be insubordinate. It wouldn't go very good down there if you was walking out of line. I mean, somebody would be getting in your face. Well, Paul tells the folks at Thessalonica, don't have nothing to do with these people that are walking out of line. Disorderly. He goes on in verse 7, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." We walked in line. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, that we might not be a burden to anyone. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Then he goes on then, "But ye, brethren, you that know the Lord, be not weary in well-doing." What was our point? We need to go on regardless of what others are doing. Regardless of what others are doing. You know, it's dangerous. A dangerous thing. And I believe it's as dangerous today as it has ever been. It's dangerous to listen to others that rather than God. Amen. To be listening to what others are saying is right and wrong and how things ought to be, rather than God. Paul warns that even though, that in this case, and we'll look at this, even though there are others that are lazy and refusing to follow instruction, we're to continue. Amen. We are not to be weary in that. Go on regardless of what others are doing. And he goes on then saying, go on following our example. Paul wants them to follow his example. Now, thankfully, Paul was not one of those that said one thing and did another. No. As the old cliche is, he practiced what he preached. Practiced his preaching. He and his team, that church planting team that worked with him, they, as we read in the passage, they worked long and hard to support themselves so that they wouldn't be a burden on that new church there in Thessalonica. It's very important. It was extremely important to Paul to set a good example to those new Christians there in Thessalonica. In verse 9, he explains that yes, he, what's it say there? Not because we have not power. The idea is authority. Oh, it's not that he didn't have authority, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. They had every right to live by the ministry, that the ministry should support them. But they laid that aside so that they could be a good example to them, to those new believers. Oh my. It's so important to them. Yes, we see it's an exhortation to believer. But this what he says there in verse 13 is more than an exhortation. It's more than just a challenge. Now, what's it say again? But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, those words are not in the form of a command. He's not commanding them. But he does make it a very strong statement. It's a very strong strength. The strength of the passage supports what Paul's saying here. It's a very strong challenge to him. Now, there are some commands in the passage. There's some very clear commands. What's he say? Not real popular today. He tells them, if you don't work, you don't eat. Huh? Wait a minute. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Verse 10 and 11, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Whoa. Huh. Well, the word got back to Paul. The word got back to Paul that there were some in the church that would not work. Very important how he words that. The idea is that they determined. They decided, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work. Here it is, beloved. Paul tells the Thessalonian church that if anyone chooses to not work, you choose to not feed them. Isn't that what he said? If any would not work, if anyone decides, now he wasn't saying somebody that can't work. He didn't say that. He's saying for those that decide, they choose that I'm not going to bother working. Those ones don't eat. Stick with me. Now, not only that, oh my, not only that, there was the curse of the busybodies. What's that? The curse of the busybodies. What's a busybody? A busybody is someone that meddles in other people's business. That's exactly what the word means. They meddle in other people's business. Now, this is the crowd that doesn't want to do anything, but they got a lot of complaining to do. Do you follow that? They don't want to do anything, but they have plenty to complain about. Here, in our passage in Thessalonica, they wanted to live off of other people's labors and then tell them how they ought to be doing. Ooh. Let's look at this from a couple aspects. I'm going to meddle. I'm going to do a little meddling here. And I'm not going to dwell long on this point, but we see social meddling going on in our day in a big way. In a big way. This is the group that is constantly telling us what they're entitled to. I know that's not a popular message, but there's a lot. Hey, I'm entitled. Here we had a group. I'm entitled to a free lunch. That's what was going on here. They're the ones who are spouting off about how wicked. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go there for just a moment, okay? They're the ones spouting off about how wicked capitalism is and how wonderful socialism is. It fits their mindset. They are what? Meddlers. They're meddlers. They want to forcefully take from those who work and give to those who don't work. Socialism. How has socialism worked out? How's it work out for the dear folks, the citizens, the people in Cuba or Venezuela, Argentina, as we hear the stories from there? How about the dear folks, the people in Russia and China, and on we could list? Listen to me. What starts as the glowing principles or philosophy of socialism ultimately ends up in communism. Huh? How can that happen? It ultimately ends up in communism, where those in control no longer govern a nation, they rule a people. Get that in our heads, especially young people, as you get inundated with that. The harder you work, now listen, the United States is a democratic republic founded upon the principles of personal property rights and capitalism. What's that mean? It means that the harder you work, the better off you'll be. The harder you work, the better off you'll be. The better off you'll do. Now, beloved, look around the world. Let's see. Which system, socialism or capitalism, has worked out better? But we'll stop there. More important to my heart, rather than social busybodies, are spiritual busybodies. Yeah, we got those too. Paul is concerned as he writes to this church in Thessalonica. He's concerned because he's heard that there were folks that had this thinking in the church. They didn't want to work, but they wanted to be taken care of by the church. Now, should we as a church do what we can to help those that need help? Well, sure. Don't make me preach the other side of that. They didn't want to work, but they wanted to be taken care of. What were they? They were busybodies. They had plenty to say about how things ought to be done. They had time to meddle because they didn't have jobs. They had time to meddle in other people's business since they were freeloading off of them. Now, here's the point I really want to make. This same thinking manifests itself in ministries of every church. Every church I've been involved with in the last nearly 50 years. I've seen this all along the way. There are those who enter in. They do everything they can do to see the work of the Lord go forward. Amen. They generously give. They faithfully serve. They're there to encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're out there doing everything they can to share Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Praise God for those folks. And then there are those. There are those who freeload on the giving and the service of others. Boy, I don't like to have to say that, but it's the case. Every church I've ever been a member of. They freeload on the giving and the service of others. They don't want to do anything. They sure don't want to be doing anything, but they're right there to tell the pastor and the other church leaders how things ought to be done. Well, if this is the way it ought to be, preacher. Well, why don't we do it this way? Everybody that's ever pastored in the room is smiling right now. Now, you may think this is a terrible thing to say, but I'm going to fill you in just I mean, it's just us here. So I'm going to fill it in for your information. As a pastor, I always want to hear the thoughts and the suggestions of those that are doing everything they can to see this church go forward. I want to hear from them. I want to know what their thinking is. Huh? They labor in God's cause of sharing the gospel and ministering to people. And I want to hear what they think. They're part of it. But, on the other hand, what those who are just along for the ride, busybodies, I'll be kind and I'll listen. But it just passes right through. One ear and out the other. You say, that's not nice. I'm just being honest. What's the cure for busybodies? Paul tells us in verse 12, "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that they with quietness, they work and eat their own bread." Now, I'd say Paul's kind of blunt there, isn't he? He's very clear and blunt, so I'll put it in language that we all understand. You ready for the Turner paraphrase? He says, "Indeed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shut up, get to work, support yourself, and help carry the load around here."
Amen.
Isn't that what that verse says? That word quietness actually means be quiet. Get to work. Now, enough of that. Paul has also a word of encouragement for those who are faithfully serving. Those are staying by the stuff. Those that are doing their best to carry on. And it's an exhortation here to do good. To do good. He says, "Be not weary in well-doing." Be not weary. Well, what are we then? The idea of the word is don't faint. What are we not to faint at? What are we to be faithfully doing? That which is good. That which is good. He says, "Be not weary in well-doing." Paul's telling them, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. Don't be discouraged. Yes, beloved. I know, I understand. This has been an especially tough year. Tough year for all of us. Yes, it's been tiring. Tiring and trying. Yes, it has been discouraging. But what's Paul telling us? It's still too soon to quit. It's too soon, beloved, to quit. He says, keep right on in well-doing. He says, do good for the sake of the cause of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his tremendous letter to the Ephesian church, in that letter he tells us in chapter 2 how we're saved. How to save. But he also tells us what to do there after we're saved. What are those verses in Ephesians 2 verses 8? Huh? What does it say? "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We understand that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We quote that so often, but the next verse is very important too, verse 10. He goes on and he says, "For we are His workmanship." It's interesting, that word workmanship is the word, the Greek word that we get our English word poem from. Isn't that interesting? We get our English word poem from it. And it has the idea of something that is made. Something that is made. The author of a poem makes or creates that poem. Well, we are His workmanship, created. Isn't that interesting? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Huh? God saved, made us serving. We're not saved to go kick back in the chair. Okay, I'm ready. Lord Jesus, come. No, we're to be busy for Him till He comes. And again, regardless of what the other guy's doing. Don't look at him, look at Jesus. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now get this, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. This is the way God designed it from the beginning. This His plan for us, for you and I, as we were saved, was to serve Him. That was His plan from the beginning, before He saved us. What's it saying? God had a job for you before He ever saved you. It's clear. It's clear, beloved. We're not saved by good works. Amen. We understand that. We all know that. But we are saved to what? Do good works. Right. To do good works. We are to give ourselves to God's glory. To be doing good. That word, those words, well doing. It just means to be doing those things that are good. Those things that are right. Those things that are a benefit to others. What we're supposed to be occupying ourselves with. But then we see here. We go over and we'll try to hasten here, over there in Galatians chapter 6. It's important that we give a little time there. We see the promise for those who do go on for the Lord. I'm thankful to be able to be here today and report to you that as you faithfully continue for Him, God has a promise for you. He has a promise for you. The promise for those who go on for the Lord. What's He say? There in verse 9, again, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, as we read, as we'll go back in a moment here and look at this passage, the Apostle Paul is applying the laws of sowing and reaping to make his point. He's applying those principles to the believers. Now listen, he's applying those principles to the believers' faithful, continuing service for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, he's not talking. The Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel spoke of how we're to look out over the fields, that they're ripe already for the harvest. This is a different principle here. Here the idea is, as we continue faithfully serving Him, that He is going to bestow blessings into your lives. You'll reap that blessing. We'll see that as we go on here. And go in our passage, go back, if you would, to verse 7, Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, where he says there, Paul writes, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Wow. Don't kid yourself. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, shall of the Spirit, capital S, reap life everlasting. Then he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. The first question to ask is, what kind of sowing are we doing? What kind of planting are we doing with our lives? The question, are we planting, are we sowing to the pleasures of the flesh? What does that mean? Can I say it this way? I guess I will. As long as you don't have any objections. Huh? Who's running the show? Is your flesh running the show, or is the Holy Spirit of God running the show? Oh my. Oh my. What kind of sowing are we doing with our life? Are we sowing to the pleasures of the flesh, or are we sowing to the Holy Spirit? Remember, beloved, the flesh is corrupt, and all it can produce is corruption. Don't sow to the flesh. The flesh produces corruption, ruin, and destruction. But be sure of this foundational biblical truth. The flesh produces death. The flesh produces death. But the Holy Spirit of God produces life everlasting. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God, as we read here, the working of the Spirit is life everlasting. Again, the question, are you saved? Are you saved? If you're saved and serving God, God will reward your faithful labor for Him. I'm thankful to be able to report that. We see the promise for those who go on for the Lord, and so we see the ideas for those who endure. If we faint not, for those who endure, if we faint not. Now, it's interesting, in Galatians, what he writes here, the apostle includes himself. Do you notice that? He includes himself in those words. He said, let us not be weary. If we faint not. Paul's encouraging, challenging himself, along with the believers in those churches of Galatia. We can't lose heart, folks. We must not lose heart. Don't be discouraged when life is wearing on you. We must not quit. Be honest with you. Along the middle of this week, it's Wednesday, I got up and I'm feeling pretty good, Brother Gary. I'm starting to percolate again. And so I told Marcia, I'm going to take a test today. I think I've got this thing kicked. And I took that test, and I looked down there, and waiting the 15 minutes. So I was still positive. I found myself, don't you be laughing at me, Marcia. Kind of. We can have to start feeling sorry for ourselves. I was feeling sorry for myself. And in fact, I hadn't hardly even been sick to start with. I was just getting tired of looking at that inside of that house. Many of you have been there. You've been all, hey, am I lying? He's encouraged them to what? We must not quit. Why? Because the promise will come in due season. Very important. In due season. The promise, the fulfillment, it will come at exactly the right time. At exactly the right time. You know, this principle here, sowing and reap, the time of reaping is certain. The amount of reaping is determined by the Lord of the harvest. But the time of reaping is certain. Just like that faithful farmer that's tending his crop. Oh my, my daddy would, in the spring, man, he's out there, he's got the tractor tuned up, put some new spark plugs in it, and he's hooking up the plow, and he's got, this is in the olden times. Okay? And he's shining up the plowshares, and he's got the grease out, and he's got it on, and he's ready to get out in the field. Turn that soil over, work it up. And then he gets the planters out, and he's sowing the seed. What is he thinking about? He's thinking about fall when it's time to reap. Huh? He puts that seed in the soil in the spring, but his mind is already thinking about the time of reaping. Mm-hmm. Yes, beloved. His heart is on the time of harvest. And so too we. Listen. We continue to serve our good God with that well-doing. Amen. That's doing those good things that the Word of God instructs us of. And we do it with expectation. The eyes of our faith. We're doing today. We're sowing those things to the Holy Spirit of God. In and through His enabling, in His strength. We're sowing those good things, that well-doing today with our eyes of faith. On down there on the time of reaping. Our eyes of faith are on the time of reaping. We sow with expectation, beloved. With expectation. We serve our God today with the understanding that He has ordained a time of reaping. A time, in the context of the passage, of reward. The fulfilling of His promise. We, beloved, have the promise of everlasting life. And as I say that so often, it's not just talking about the duration. It's talking about the quality of life that we have in Christ. Huh? He says, hey, what kind of life is did he die to give us? Abundant life. Abundant life. Yes. Why do we serve God? First and foremost, we serve God because we love Him.
Amen.
Huh? I love those words from John, 1 John, where he says, we love God because He first loved us.
Yes, sir.
Huh? God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have, yes, everlasting life. Huh? I should have warned you, this has been kind of building up in here. We love and serve God because how He has loved us. Huh? The promise will come in due season. And we see this promise of a harvest. It's not. Now listen, He didn't say we might reap. Doesn't say that, does it? It says we shall reap if we faint not. Huh? I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I have eternal life in Him. I rejoice in the forgiveness of sins today. Do you check? Hallelujah. But we also know there's going to be a time of reaping of great reward. Great reward. Yes. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we believe what God says? Do we believe the promises of God to us? If we believe Him, serve Him. Let's serve Him. Let's stay faithful. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's done so much for me. What are we doing for Jesus? God forbid we're like the ones in Thessalonica that are just along for the ride. Huh? Just along for the ride. While others are working, they're producing, they're and we're just reaping the benefits of their labors. Oh, I don't want to be that crowd. Yes, beloved. Oh, yes. I understand. The times are trying. I'm so concerned about those that are homesick today. We grieve. We grieve with the families that have buried loved ones because of this stupid virus. Thank you, China. But we should understand. Now listen to this. Please understand this. That as human beings, we do deal with such things. Huh? Do people get sick before the China virus? People suffer before this China virus, this stupid virus? People die. Before this virus. Yes. Yes. We understand that. We should understand that as human beings. That we do deal with trials. Including sickness. And including even death. Well, what's Paul trying to tell us? It's still too soon to quit. It's still too soon to quit. And we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Stay with it. Stay with it. God promises, does He not? God has given us His promise. His integrity of who and what He is depends on that. You come way too late to tell me to kick back and forget it. You came way too late to tell me, hey, there's no use serving God anymore. Huh? Broke my heart. I don't know if it's true or not when I heard that statistic that 25% of churches. Now, this report did come out of California, so let's put that into context. As they've had to deal with so much oppression by the government out there. But the 25% of churches have lock the doors and quit. How does that line up with what we've read here today? Doesn't line up, does it? Huh? So as long as God would give me breath. When old Alan, when we first tested positive, he said, get yourselves one of those oxygen sensors. And Daniel went by Walmart. And I took a picture of one out of the internet. And I said, Daniel, if you'll pick this up for us. And we're trying to watch that oxygen, make sure, you know. And every day, I'd clean the thing up and I'd stick it on Marcia's finger and check her oxygen. Then I'd take it off Brother Gary. I'd clean it up again. Then I caught it. I just stuck it on her finger and then I'd stick it on my finger. Hallelujah. All the way along the way, I still had breath. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And as long as God will give me breath, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him. He's worthy of my service. He's worthy of our love, beloved. Don't let this crazy world, don't let the media, don't let the politicians tell you it's time to quit. Amen. Jesus has done too much for us. Huh? God is too good.
for you and I to turn our backs on Him and quit. Oh, God help us. Are you saved? Do you know Him? Oh, He's such a good God. Let's stand together. Thank you for being so patient. Father, I bow before you. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for how faithful He is. Thank you for all that we have in Him. Every good, every perfect gift that we receive from Him, from His hand. Father, I'm praying, I'm asking you in your name, in Jesus' name, that you'd be pleased to do for Metropolitan Baptist Church. Please do for our dear, dear brothers and sisters that are sick. Sick with this virus, sick with some other thing going on. Sick, Father, with pneumonia or cancer or whatever it might be. God, I'm asking you, Lord, do for them. Encourage them that you love them. Might they sense your presence right where they're at right now. God, by your Spirit, enter in. Go where they're at. Bless them. Might their hearts just swell, be overwhelmed right now with your goodness. And for us here in this auditorium, please, Lord, please, might your truth speak to our hearts today. We'd stay faithful to you. We'd be quick to lift up the arms that hang down. We'd be quick to encourage each other, to help each other, Father, with the needs and the things that are going on. Lord, I'm so thankful that this church is a praying church. Thankful for prayers of my beloved people, for Marcia and I in these days. Thank you that as we commend these ones battling this crazy virus, that we commend them to the throne of grace. Commend them to a God that is able to do for them, to raise them up and strengthen them. God, please. Please continue to use this church for your glory. Oh God, I'm asking you, not in some preacher's name, not even in this church's name. I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to continue to use us. Might we be a light that will not be quenched on this hill to the sound of the trump till Jesus comes.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Brother Earl. Number 500, folks. These altars are open. Please use them as the Lord would direct.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just had word that there's an accident out here in front of the church, and police cars and stuff out there. So I just encourage you to be careful as you're leaving. I don't know what the circumstances are, but just be careful as you're leaving the property today. Again, it's always good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
You don't know that until you're laid out for a while, right? I did get spoiled with this. I did get spoiled. I mean, I tune in, have my recliner all ready. My coffee cup was sitting right there. And I was ready to watch the service.
Amen.
Huh? But it's not like being here. It's not like being here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Brother Earl, would you come?
Let's be dismissed for our course number 139.